From a distance, you might think these boys were family. They hug and joke and tease and talk. They share their highs and lows and support each other through them all. A year ago, these boys were strangers. If not for a twist of fate, they would never have met. So from far away, you would think they're family, because now they are. Marcus Josie was born an athlete. He had the leadership and the ability. The only question was, what sport would be closest to his heart? It turned out to be football.
As a kid, I always played football since the age of 9 through high school, college. So, you know, once I had a son, I knew that he was going also going to try the game of football because I thought it would benefit from him. He can learn a lot of things from the sport, not just from the athletic side of things, but also for his discipline, work ethic. So he started playing football at the age of 7. In the first year he played, he struggled. But, you know, he took the time to get work on his skills and he got a lot better at it. And then after that, you know, he just fell in love with the game.
I had to learn very quickly to be a leader and be vocal with the rest of the guys because I was the quarterback. You know, everyone looks at the quarterback for leadership. So once I started receiving the college letters coming from the head football coaches and stuff, it was the payoff of all the hard work that I had put in my whole entire life.
As Marcus focused on where he would spend his college football and academic life, he began experiencing symptoms that were originally diagnosed as simple back pain.
On April 10th, 2015, Marcus started his morning out by going to the guidance counselor. He was actually given a letter from the head coach at Harvard, and that letter was requesting his official transcripts and SATs and ACT scores. So he started out the day excellent. But he went from there to a Leukemia Lymphoma Society assembly, and he realized that he had most of the symptoms they were talking about. And because he had not felt good for 4 weeks, he thought, I think I have leukemia. The assembly was over, and he went to gym class, and he got a nosebleed. So I was called and told to pick him up and take him to the emergency room. And when we went to our local hospital, walked in, he said, I need blood work. I'm sure I have leukemia.
The Josies waited for Marcus's blood work to be done. Then, with the results in hand, the doctor met with the Josies.
When the doctor actually came in to tell me that I was diagnosed, you know, I looked at both my parents and both of them had shocked looks on their faces. And of course, like, you never expect to be told that you have cancer. So like, once I actually heard those words, it's hard to wrap your brain around the reality of the situation. You know, you're just in shock, and it's hard to believe.
He was a straight-A student. He excelled at sports. You know, we'd go to church on Sundays. This an all-around kid. So when he got to the level of being able to play in college, you know, he was following that map perfectly. Once he was diagnosed, I think the thing he had to realize is maybe our map that we had for him to play football wasn't the right map. And maybe it's a bigger map he needed to follow.
As Marcus started his treatment, days later, 7-year-old Elliot was diagnosed as well.
He came home from baseball practice, and it was about, I guess, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and he just, you know, said, he's like, my legs hurt. And I was like, okay, go to bed, because you've been outside playing for the last how many hours? They're probably just tired. It's bedtime. So I sent him to bed, and he got up about 45 minutes later, and this time he started to cry a little bit. So Eric was like, we need to take him to the ER right away, just in case there was like a fracture or something that obviously we were missing. And then Eric took him down to Lancaster General Hospital.
So the doctor had run some blood work, and he was just letting us go at 6 a.m. and brought some paperwork back to sign and said the one test from the blood had come back kind of abnormal, that we should follow up with our local doctor in the morning, just, you know, get some verification on that. And I didn't really think much about it, you know, because by that time they'd given him some medicine and he was back to being Elliot, wanting to know when he can go home and get something to eat, you know. And so we left.
Elliot slept as Amy heard the phone ring.
And the doctor called and he had asked if Elliot was in the ER. And I said, well, yeah, I knew I had to follow up with the primary care physician, but they were calling at like 9. And he said, I just wanted to tell you that Elliot has blood cancer. And I was like, well, no, he doesn't. He was just in the hospital for his legs hurt. And he said they ran some tests and he had blood cancer. And then I knew it was serious when he said, I've already made a phone call to Hershey Medical Center and he has to be up there within the next hour and a half because they have to run a test.
As fate would have it, Marcus and Elliot found each other at Hershey Medical Center.
I was walking to the cafeteria and I saw little Elliot hooked up to the same things that Marcus was hooked up to, IV and chemo. And I saw this mom with the same look on her face. I said to her, is he really hungry? And she said, he just got diagnosed with leukemia, ALL. And I said, so did we. The more we talked, the more I realized that we had to become involved with this family and get through this together.
We had so much in common with our children, with adoption, with just our faith. It was instantaneously. We actually stood off the elevator, I think, and talked for like an hour or two that day.
And I went back to Marcus's room and I said, I just met this family, this little boy. I want you to mentor him.
Got out of bed and I went over to meet Elliot. And as soon as I walked in the room, he had a smile on his face just to see that he had someone visiting him who was going through the same thing that he was. So as the visit went on, you know, we found out that we had a lot of things in common. Ever since that day, we've had a bond like no other.
Days turned to weeks, then months. The process was slow and monotonous.
In the very beginning, we would have to be up there about 8 o'clock in the morning.
And when we get there, we check in, they do my height and weight.
I have to, get a needle on my forehead.
You do that, you come out to the waiting room. You wait until the nurse takes you back to do blood work.
And I need to get my blood work done.
We wait for the blood work to come back. Then once that comes back, we go back into a different room to actually get the chemo and talk to doctors. And depending on what day it is and what part of my treatment is, that can range from 30 minutes to sometimes up to like 6 hours.
To have somebody else know exactly what you're going through up there, that you can cry on their shoulder and talk about it and just be angry at the fact that you're watching medicine go in my son, knowing that what they were putting inside of him was killing him. But I had to do it because the things that were inside of him, his leukemia, was also going to kill him.
As the boys went through chemotherapy, they looked forward to the little things. Elliot got to experience Hershey Park and a superhero bedroom makeover. Marcus got back a little of what he missed from his senior year.
Cancer isn't just a physical disease. As a teenager, at least, it affects your mental health, your emotional health, and your social life. Because once you get diagnosed, you can't go to school right away. I was going into my senior year when I got diagnosed, and I had to miss my whole entire senior year, and I had to be away from my friends for that whole year.
Elliot went back to school and started playing football, while Marcus graduated and followed the one coach who had been there all along.
The day after I was diagnosed, he actually reached out to my mom and he told her, sorry for what had happened, but I still want Marcus to be a part of my program. He's like, do you want to be on the coaching staff with me, or are you going to try to play the next year? I said, well, I don't think I can play, but you know, I'll definitely be a part of the coaching staff with you. So him reaching out means the world to me.
You know, we recruited him because initially he's a great athlete and a great kid, and that's really important to me and to us in our program. And then when I heard about, you know, the leukemia, I just felt, why would I leave him when he needed you most, you know?
As they are now in remission from leukemia, they know they are not out of harm's way yet. But they'll keep fighting this battle together, despite the distance.
I guess a happy ending to this story would be becoming a pediatric oncologist and keep fighting to find a cure for cancer and make it easier for everyone in the world who's going through the same thing that I've been going through this past year.
We were talking about how Jesus can talk to us, and he opened the Bible, and it was actually, he opens it to the story of David and Goliath. He looked at me and he said, Mom, he says, I think cancer is going to be my Goliath. I think that's how Jesus is going to use me. From that day forward, I've always said, you know, I don't know why Jesus chose you to have cancer, but I do know that you will be able to touch more lives for Jesus by having cancer than if you didn't have it.